Good deal. All right, well, let's just settle our hearts in prayer this morning before we kick off. And I want us to really, in your mind this morning, just ask God for the things that He's been prompting your heart about as we start today. This is it, okay? We're clicking down the final moments and the final hours, and everything is kind of clicking down. And so this morning, I just want you to say, all right, Lord, oh, don't let me have come Thursday night and Friday and this morning and have missed what it is that you want for me to do. Let me be sensitive to your voice today as we wrap things up and draw us to these decision-making moments in our lives. So let's go to prayer. I'm going to give you just a moment to pray silently there in your seats, and then I will lead us in prayer and we'll go into our session this morning. So let's go to God in prayer this morning. Father, we just come to you this morning with hearts, Lord, that are drawn to you, Lord, that long to follow after you this morning. Lord, we come to you with your praise on our lips. Lord, even though we haven't even sung a song yet this morning, Lord, we magnify your name this morning. And we're so grateful that we can be victorious because you are victorious. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts in the ways that you want to. Teach us what you need to teach us. Show us what you need to show us. And Lord, help us today that we would just be so zoned in on your voice and what you have for us today. God, I ask that we would honor you and glorify you in our obedience today. In your name I pray. Amen. 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 All right, well, now we're just going to, we're going to walk through, okay, you with me? Because we've absorbed a lot, okay? Now, I want to encourage you on this. When you come to a thing like this and you're getting sessions Thursday all day, Friday night, Saturday, it's just like drinking water from a fire hydrant, okay? It's just coming at you, just boom, 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 boom. And what you want to make sure you do is that you actually have some reflection time. So I would encourage you, this conference is not over with for you. The prayer advance doesn't get a box checked off, we're done, until you have some moments to pull away with your Bible, your notes, or whatever it looks like, and just think through it. God, what do you need me to do? Now, some of you drove, how many of you drove more than an hour to get here? Okay, the majority of you. All right, ladies, you have to drive over an hour to get home. There's your moments. Talk about it with one another. What has God taught you? What did you learn? What do you need to process through? Those moments of reflection are so, so important. Because it's easy to get fired up, and then all of a sudden you said, boy, I sure did get my toes stepped on, or I was sure inspired by that, or that sure does excite me or motivate me, or boy, that's what I need to be doing. But that doesn't mean we actually do any of it when we leave. You know, we just talk about it and get all excited, and then we don't do anything. You know, Lisa's that way, okay? Drives me insane. And specifically, she will say things like, oh, you know what? Ice cream sounds so good. Yes, it does. Boy, I would just love to go get an ice cream cone. Well, oh yes. And 30, 45 minutes later, I'm like, hey, when are we going to go get that ice cream? She's like, oh, I wasn't serious. I wasn't going to actually eat it. I was just going to talk about it. I don't have the calories for that today. And what I've been doing for the last 30 minutes is deciding what flavor. And I mean, it is abrupt disappointment. Okay, I'm just going to tell you. I'm like, what? We're not going? No. Did you really want to go? So I just told her, we have a new rule in our friendship. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Because I really, you get me all excited about going to get ice cream, and then you just pour water on my dreams. All right, so sometimes we can be like that, okay? We can talk about a thing that we never actually plan on doing. And it's fun to talk about it, but we're not going to do anything about it. I'm just going to tell you, as much energy and as, Come on, Dale. Listen, as much work as goes into this, wouldn't that be the saddest thing in the world if these women left and all they did was talk about what they learned, but they never did anything about what they learned? Oh my goodness, that would just be the saddest thing in the world. So let's don't be that way. All right, so let's walk it through. So get it in your minds as we walk through. We started on Thursday night, and what we talked about is, are we ready for victory? By asking a question, or do you know you're in a battle? And we did a heart check. And we did a little pulse check. And we talked about the things as, what is our thinking like? Have we drifted into such a pattern of this world and everything anchored into this world and all and everything in this world is overwhelming us and overtaking us that our thinking is to the point that it is steering us in all of the wrong directions and thus as we think is who we are? And so we talked about take every thought and bring it into captivity. With the power of the Holy Spirit, bring those thoughts captive. And let's get lined up. And then we also talked about another area of spiritual warfare, and that was taking on the whole armor of God. And although we didn't go into every piece detail, there is a, we're going to elaborate on that a little bit this morning, but we need to be armed for battle. I'm consciously aware that there is a spiritual battle out here. The world is broken. The devil is my enemy. This is not my home. I am on a journey through this world for a purpose. If you're breathing air this morning, God still has something for you to do. So it's not an accident you're here. It's not a mistake that you were created the way you're created. And we're going to talk about that this morning. God has given us a purpose and direction. So Thursday, spiritual warfare. It's real. We're in the middle of it. Wake up. Get armed. Bring your thoughts captive. So that we can do what? We can live in victory. Romans 8. Romans 6, chapter 7. Romans 6 and 7. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, my goodness. I am judged by the law of God and found a failure. I'm found a sinner. And there's no hope for me because the law is death. But then came Jesus. Amen. Romans 8, 1. And in Jesus there is no condemnation. Because as I am saved, now His blood cleanses me from all sins. You with me? His blood covers me this morning. It covers you this morning. And I will say, if there is one woman sitting here and you are not 100% sure, if you died right now that you would be with Jesus, don't you leave here today without getting that fixed. It is, you say, well, I came with, they all think I am. Who cares what people think? What matters is where you're going to go and how you're going to have victory in this life. You see, salvation for us is more than just heaven. It's an abundant life here. And what does that look like? And we talked about that. So as we look into that, now we can begin to understand why Paul would say in Romans 8, you're more than a conqueror. We're more than a conqueror because Jesus has conquered. And we're in Him. And so because we're in Him, we just have the opportunity to ride His coattails through on victory. And we have the opportunity as we're in Him. But I can promise you, if we're not in Him, we're going to get beat up. And we're going to lose. And so we've got to make sure. We have to understand that we're operating by this new Spirit of God that works in us. And it changes the way I think. It's a different mindset. It is a different way of living my life. And although I know I'm in a battle, what I know is the score is 222-0. I understand completely how it's going to end, and I know we've won. And so even though the battles are hard, and although it is difficult as we move through this life, and I understand that clearly, here's the thing. I know in the end, God has won the victory. And if I'm in Him, I will stand victorious with Him, in Him at the end. Praise God. But I got to be honest with you. I don't want to just stand victorious with Him at the end. I want to walk with Him victorious today. Today. And Romans 8 enables us to do that. And so last night, we looked, started to begin to look at what it looked like to walk victorious today. And we're going to finish that this morning. And then we're going to have one final session on what I believe could be the sister passage to Romans chapter 8. And I'll just leave you in lots of suspense. I want to read to you some verses from Romans 8. We're going to start with where we left off last night, verse 27. And we said this was the famous verse of Romans 8. And if you've ever been in a crisis, I can promise you, you dreaded the moment somebody quoted this to you. In fact, I've had women come up to me. It's the funniest thing. I have women come up to me and they want to tell me something. And they're like, now look, I want to tell you something. Don't you dare start quoting Romans 8:28 to me. Okay, what is it about this verse that is so hard for us to swallow? Well, let's just find out. It says, and we know. There's a big word there, know. It's not we think. It's not we hope. It's we know. We know. And we know. This is a confidence in. It is a belief in. It is a blessed assurance. We know that all things, all. What does that mean in the Greek, Reba? It means all. Entire. Everything. Nothing excluded. We know that all things work together. They work out to the coming together of the pieces becoming a whole. You see, when I look at it from my perspective, all I see is Legos on the floor. Everything doesn't look like it fits. If you're a person who does puzzles, you open the box up and you dump it out, and it's just, especially if it's one of those doozies of puzzles. If I do a puzzle, it's like rated 5 years old. Big pieces. But if you're really one of those people who love those puzzles, you might really get into one of those 5,000 puzzle piece things and it's massive and you dump it out and these little pieces are here, you know, and they're everywhere. And sometimes our lives feel exactly like that. Our lives look like that. And you might flip open the box and go, oh, that's supposed to look like a Thomas Kincaid painting. Well, you've got to be kidding me. Everything in here is green. You ever felt that way in your life? And when it looks like that, you're like, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that this is going to come together and it's going to look like this in the end. But if you're diligent, you know how you do. You start with the outside and you get the corners all and the outside framework in, and then you begin the difficulty. Or maybe you wait and say, I'll deal with the grass later. I'm going to go for the little house or the canoe or whatever. I'm not going for the grass right now. All right. But whatever you do, you know what? Eventually, over time, it comes together. And if you really pursue to the end, which I rarely do, if you pursue to the end, then what's on the box is what's on the table. Now, in the economy of God, in our economy, a bunch of pieces all over the place. But in God's economy, the puzzle's finished. And all things will come together for good in your life. Every piece put in place. Everything lined up. And we know that all things will. They will work together. The pieces will be put into place by God Himself as He orchestrates the dailiness of our lives. He will put it all together and it will be good when it's done. And I can just tell you, there's just pieces. You ever picked up a piece? This is an accident piece. It doesn't fit anywhere in this puzzle. I tell you, I have pieces like that in my life. This does not fit. This does not, where in the world does this fit? Somebody made a mistake. But with God, there are no mistakes. And so last night we talked about that even what looks like defeat is not defeat. Okay, it's not. And what looks like delay is not necessarily always no. God's going to work it out. Why? Because He promised He's going to work it out. We know that all things work together for them. That what? That love God. What does love God have to do with it? It has everything to do with it. Because I love Him. See, I don't love anybody I don't trust. Not like this. My love is so much in our humanness linked to our trust. I love you because I've come to a relationship. I know you can be trusted. And therefore, my love for you grows. And the more come on now, you know this if you've ever had a boyfriend or a husband. The more you trust them, the more you open your heart and abandon. You do. The heart is open because there's trust there. And that, the more we know God, the more we trust God, we know that because of His love for us, He loves us too much to bring any pain into our life without purpose. And so therefore, all things will work together for good to them who love God. And we understand that. To them who are called. Now this is a huge phrase that He's getting ready to kind of unpack here. They're called according to His purpose. Do you know there was a calling on your life? Psalm 139 says that when you were born, before you were ever a thought in your parents' mind, Creator God designed you. He knew exactly how you would be. There's no mistakes. You may say, yes, there is. I've got some things to talk to Him about. No. I love the fact that we don't all look alike. Now, yes, I would love to look like a size like 6. Tall, slinky. And I think that would be the best. But the Lord knew I would be proud. And I would stand up here. And you would never see Jesus. You would see me and all my pride. So the Lord says, no 6 for you. No. You can't handle 6. All right. We're going to give you more numbers. And you know what? I have to learn to be all right with that. I'm never going to be a 6. And I have paid a lot in therapy to say that. So, all right. It's just not going to happen. All right. And so what do? We trust God with our lives, and we understand that He has a purpose for our lives. And that purpose and that calling, it was put together for us before we were ever a thought in anybody's minds. You know, I think Harold said that he was an unexpected blessing in his parents' mind, but not in God's mind. God knew exactly what he was going to look like. He knew exactly when he was coming, and he fashioned him. And he set him on course as he has set us all on course in this time period in history, in this place in the world. Knowing you would be born in this decade, you would live through these decades, you would be on the planet during these events in history, you would influence these people, this would be your tribe, this would be your community, this would be your church, and this would be your job. And that ought to excite us today. Do you know the world's looking and searching for purpose? But look what he goes on to say. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow. Ah, there it is. He knew you before. Psalm 139 tells us how far back he knew us before the foundation of the earth. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. To do what? To be conformed to the image of his son. Do you know that God has predetermined he wants you to look just like him? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also, next word. Come on. Called. And whom he called, them he what? justified. And whom he justified, he what?
Glorified.
And then, wow, what a statement. Did you say yes? Absolutely, yes. I wished everybody had said yes. Yes. See, did you understand who you are in Jesus? You are predestined to look like him. You're called with a purpose. He's working on it. You're justified as if you had never sinned. And guess what? You're glorified.
Amen.
No wonder the next verse says this. What shall we say to these things? Isn't that a great question? Paul says, what should we say to these things? I love it. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we say. Now, I don't know what your challenges are, girls. I really don't. I don't know what the biggest obstacles in your life right now are, but you do. I don't know what you find in your dailiness. I'm going to tell you, sometimes big obstacles are easier to deal with than dailiness is. The daily grind sometimes can just be overwhelming. And especially, and I realize so many things have changed in women's lives in the past since March. Some of you have turned into homeschool moms and you never wanted to do that. Some of you are video techs and you're not a video tech. But suddenly you're over here, Mom, I can't see the teacher. Hang on. What's an HDMI cord? Where are we at here? All right, We're working on it. Hang on. Technical difficulties may have described your last 3 months. Okay? Some of you may have been impacted by your work and at your job, and all kinds of things have come into your life. Do you know none of those were surprises to God? None of those. Our purpose is still the same. His plan is still in action. The mission is still the same. And I'll confess a little bit here with you. I got sucked in to everything that was going on. And I'm watching the news and I'm watching the reports and I'm watching this and I'm just kind of, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true either. And I'm just getting to like point, right? I'm just. And I realized that I had gotten my eyes on that. And I was watching. Oh man, yeah, he's right. Tell him. And I realized it was dominating my conversation. Every conversation I had with anybody I ever had, I was talking about it. And the Holy Spirit was like, hey, you over here, you still have a job to do. Your eyes are on the wrong thing. In this life, persecutions will come. Trials will come. Craziness will come. It always has been. It always will be. There's nothing new under the sun. Solomon. But you have a job to do. My will has not changed. My work has not changed. Get busy. Get focused. And you know what I had to do? I had to realign. Now I still try to keep up with a little bit of what's going on. But I created a box. Everybody's crazy. And I put it in the box and I duct taped it. Because every Southern girl knows duct tape handles everything. I duct taped it. I can't change that. Now I am going to go vote because I believe, as a believer, it is my obligation to go vote for the person who the most closely aligns with the Word of God. I'm not looking for a saved person, because so far as I know, I don't know that we have a saved person to pick from. I'm not looking for Jesus. He's not running. But what I am looking for is somebody that as closely as possible aligns. And I realize that can be muddy waters. But I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to be there because I love my country and I feel like as a believer, this is my country and this is my obligation. I'm done. But it's in the box. It's got tape on it. And I know this, outside of me voting, there's not a thing I can do to change that. What can I do? Oh, let's get busy doing what Jesus called us to do, because there are people seeking that have never sought before. There are people looking that have never looked before. There are people asking questions that haven't asked questions before. And if I'm too busy trying to fix everything in the box, I don't even know that exists. I love that song, Turn Your Eyes Towards Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And what happens? The things of this world... Oh, come on. Let's just do it. I'm not a singer, but help me out. All right? I'll probably start it lower than you like, but we'll find the bass notes. All right? Help me now. Come on. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Sing it out right here now. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Oh, we got a choir right here. Woo! That's what it's about. And you know what we need to do? We need to get our eyes on Him this morning. I know everything in the box doesn't look like it's going to come together like the lid. I got you. I know the table is strewn with pieces. You don't know where they fit. I get it. But oh, you don't know who already knows where all the pieces go. You got to get your eyes on who knows where the pieces go. And then we turn our eyes to Him, knowing that He's going to say, hey, that one goes right there. I'll put that one right there. You hang up, stay with me. It's going to be awesome when we're done. And through all of that, Paul says, what do we say about the fact that God can take all of my pieces and put it together in such a way that I am reflecting who He is? Paul says, what do we say to that? I'll tell you what we say. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's what we say. Nothing, if God is for us, girls, there is nothing out there bigger than He is. Nothing. And that is what we've got to get in our hearts and on our minds. Or what do? We panic. We freak out. We give up. We quit. We get grumpy. We leave the church. Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites over there. I got hurt. I know. They're broken people too. And they're not, they're not always, not everybody in the church is a sheep. Don't you forget that. The Bible is clear. It teaches us that the wolves are among the sheep. The tares are among the wheat. Well, if the wheat are saved people and the sheep are saved people and the wolves and the tares are among us, where do we gather? Church. Not everybody in there is who they claim to be. So you have to understand that there's people you go to church with that need Jesus. Amen. You can't get your eyes on what they did to you or to your children or to your husband. Get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. Get your eyes on Him. Because that person might not even know Him. And some of you are like, they don't. I know they don't. I know they don't. Man, we got to get our eyes on Jesus because He's got a purpose for our life. He has a plan for our life. He is going to execute that plan in our lives. Why? I love this. I want you to look at verse 32. It just says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son. What is the guarantee of that? But that Jesus went to the cross. He despaired not His own Son, but He delivered Him up for who? For us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? It's a great question. Paul is basically saying this in our English today. If Jesus died for you on the cross, do you really think he's not going to do anything else for you? Who else will die for you? In John chapter 15, it was asked this way. Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. There is no greater love. Who else knows you, every piece of you, knows exactly who you are, knows every evil thought you've ever had, knows all those things about you that no one else knows, and still loves you so much that he'd go die for you? Nobody but Jesus. See, most of the time we think we got to clean it up and impress to get somebody to love us. Oh, not Jesus. Jesus said, I choose to love you. And I went to the cross and I died for you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. This is the God we serve. And so because of him, wow. If God is for us, there's nothing that can be against us. Now, from the world's perspective, it doesn't always add up. John the Baptizer put it this way, he must increase and I must decrease. And there are situations in our life, God wants to be the preeminent one that people are looking at because he's the one that has the answers, not us. And so what does he do? He sometimes allows frailties and difficulties and he allows hardship into our lives. Why? So people can see us go through that thing and see that we don't go through it like everybody else goes through it. And they're like, what is wrong with you? What is your problem? How are you getting through this? And we can say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. That's what it is. But see, God has a purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Oh! And he's going to go on in these verses, and he's just going to unpack this. Listen to what he said. He says, who shall lay anything, verse 33, anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. So get this. The devil, and I told you this, the devil walks in and says, I have a few things to say. All right. I have a few things to say. I'd just like to tell you a little bit. My buddy Anna's down here. I have a few things to tell you about Anna. She's not all it's cracked up to be. Let me just explain to you a little bit about what's going on in her life right here. Let me tell you about that. And so he begins to unfold that. The accuser of the brethren. And Jesus says, sit down.
Amen.
Sit down. I'm her lawyer. I'm her advocate. Lawyer. I'm her advocate. Your Honor. I've already paid for it. Here's the blood. She's guilty of nothing. Her debt's been paid. She's guilty of nothing. Sit down. And the accuser of the brethren slinks out of the courtroom. Who can lay anything? Nobody. Nobody. Why? Because God is the righteous judge. I love it. There's passages of scripture that's just so beautiful. He's the lawyer, and then he goes up and crawls up behind the bench, and he goes, not guilty. It's good stuff! But we're walking around like it's not good stuff. We sit in our churches, it's wonderful to be a Christian. Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian, to be a child of God. Because guess what? Not only is the victory won one day, but the battles and the victories in him are won today.
Amen.
Today. And so even though the puzzle pieces don't look like they all fit, I'm just going to tell you, God's got a purpose for your life. He doesn't allow pain into your life that doesn't have purpose. He's going to put that picture together, and you're going to have to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust, obey. Trust, obey. So what is it right now that you're like, God, I really would like to ask you about some things right here. God, I'm really mad at you about this stuff right here. God, I've been holding on to this for so long about this stuff right here. And I haven't seen how you could do any good with all that right there. I haven't been able to find it. But you'll read through your Bible and what you'll see is the words of Joseph ring out true every time. What you meant for evil, God worked out for good. Are you kidding me? Oh yeah. Joseph's brothers, let's put him in a pit. Let's kill him. Let's sell him. They think they're really getting Joseph. And from Joseph's perspective, this is not fair. This is not right. Whose idea was this? God, where are you? They took my coat. They separated me from my father. What about those dreams, Lord? And I don't know what God said to Joseph during those years between the pit and Potiphar's house and the prison. But all I know is by the time we get to the end of the book of Genesis and his brothers look at him after his daddy has died and they said, we know now that dad's gone. You're going to kill us all. And Joseph said, boys, what you meant for evil, God worked it out for good. He used every bit of it to set me in the second highest command in the world so I could save not only your scrawny necks, but the whole family of Israel. Oh, girls, we got Josephinas sitting all in this room. We do. We got Josephinas all over the place in here. And right now, all you see is the pit, and all you see is the accusations of the Potiphar's wife, and all you see right now is a prison. And God gave you thoughts, and He gave you ideas, and you dreamed it so differently than what it looks like, and you don't understand what God's doing. He's working. You don't know what He's going to do. You just got to stay with Him. If you leave now, you'll never see it come out for good. He's got a purpose for your life. Mama, hang in there with those 5-year-olds. You shall not surely die. Mamas of teenagers, don't you quit. They are listening. They may not act like they are, but they're hearing you. But I'll tell you, more than they're listening, they're watching. They can't stand a fake. Keep walking with Him. Oh, don't give up on that man. You picked him. You said yes. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up on Him. Oh, God, You've got a purpose. You've got a plan for my life. It's not just Reba's life You have a plan for. You've got a purpose for my life in my little corner of the world. And I know You can use me like You used Joseph. So God, bring it out for good. Bring it out for good. Don't you listen to that accuser. You have a lawyer. You have a judge. He is acting on your behalf. Oh, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, nobody. Nobody. Oh, I love this. He says, who is he, verse 34, that condemneth? Is it? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Oh, this is so good. Do you understand that right now you have in Jesus an intercessor? Do you know what an intercessor is? One who acts on the behalf of. One who intercedes for. Now, you understand what this is. You ever had to have a hard conversation and so you ask somebody else to go have it for you? That's what it is. We have an interceder. Someone who acts on our behalf, who goes before us, who goes in with us, who acts for us. And what does he do? He intercedes for us. And the Bible says, last night we read it, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't even know how to pray, when we don't even know what to say. He responds for us. So here's the deal. While you're over here saying, oh Lord, what I do? He said, I got this. Lord, I don't even know how to pray. I do. I don't even know what to ask you for. I got it. I'm sending it. Hang on. Hang on. It's coming. Don't you give up. I'm not just your advocate. I'm not just your lawyer. I'm not just your judge. I'm not just a lover of your soul. I'm not just the one who died on the cross for you. I'm not just your heavenly Father, but I am your interceder. I'll go before you. And I'll make the way clear. Oh, there's a wonderful, wonderful passage in the Old Testament that speaks of actually a heathen king by the name of Cyrus. And the Lord says this about Cyrus, that he went before Cyrus and he cleared his path. And he pulled Cyrus along behind him. Oh, girls, get this image. Get this image. Your interceder is going before you this morning. Get out of the way. We're crawling over this one. We're going to climb this one. Hang on. Come on. Come on. I got you. Come on. Keep climbing. I'm going to walk ahead of you. You won't hear me as loud for a little while. You won't see me as much, but keep trusting me. I'm ahead of you. I'm ahead of you. I'm coming. He's interceding. When we cannot see it, when we cannot feel it, he's working. He's working. And I'm going to tell you, you got a purpose. And God is doing great things. Don't give up on those puzzle pieces. They're going to come together. They're going to come together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.